Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of For the Record. We're on episode 77, near the end of our season, and we're going to skinny things up a little bit here at the end. We're with today a weight loss expert, someone who has trained hundreds and hundreds of clinics how to implement things like semaglutide, all the weight loss components, whether it's the diet and exercise, the macros, the carbs, what to eat, what to do, how to dose it, really the full gamut of everything, including how to make it work in your practice from a marketing aspect. She's a nursing practitioner since 2015, but a nurse since 2010, and she's specializing in family medicine, but again now, in a sense, in weight loss and aesthetics. She is a co-owner of Nurture Her in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, so the Wisconsin accent is one of my favorites. I'll go ahead and admit that right now. I can't wait to hear her talk for a full hour. I'm so excited about that part. She's a calendar nerd and organizational freak, I hear, and we are so happy to have you here today with us, Nikki Plurd from Nurture Her. Welcome to our show.
Hi, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. You know, I was kind of talking to Tiffany about this and I was like, you're going to have to like stop me from talking because I'm really, really passionate about weight loss and GLPs and just kind of where the world is going. So I am honored to kind of talk about all things semaglutide, tirzepatide, weight, nutrition today. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I mean, nurse practitioner since 2015, so the world's changed a lot since then. We had the Zoom boom. We saw ourselves all looking fat and cheeky on Zoom for a couple years. Enter you into aesthetics, also looking at dermal filler and toxins and BBLs and halos and all the other things that you're doing. So you've kind of made a big splash, so with weight loss. And it's funny, I'll tell you guys a story. Nikki submitted an abstract last year for AN, and I'm reading her abstract. I'm like, wait a minute, this person's like an actual expert in weight loss. Like, you had done it more than anybody else. Early adopter, came on, I think, when it first got approved. And you've made some major strides and taught lots of folks how to do it the right way, because there is a right and a wrong way. And so I think what you know and what you're able to share with us today is going to be hopefully game-changing for many of our practices who listen to this podcast. And if not, and you're doing it right, then kudos to you. But if you have some questions, today is the day to get them all answered. So, Nikki, I want to start with really you, your journey, how you got here, and how you ended up in aesthetics.
So I was a nurse in the ICU and obviously seeing really, really sick people in there. And then kind of simultaneously, as I was a nurse in the ICU, I got my nurse practitioner license and transitioned right from ICU nursing, like bedside, to family medicine. And in family medicine, I'm seeing, you know, every 20 minutes, someone to cover a whole laundry list of complaints. And, you know, I live in the state of Wisconsin. And so a lot of that is weight based, right? And so a lot of their problems or complaints or issues. And then eventually, you know, as I became a nurse practitioner and I was there for 7-8 years, I really wanted to kind of add back into procedures. So I started looking into aesthetics and then joined up with Erica and Nurture Her. And so I joined with her in spring of 2021. And lo and behold, like with my family medicine background and me used to seeing so many patients in a day, it just was super easy for me to implement weight management right away. And then of course, in June 2021 is when Wegovy got approved. And I was like, we're bringing this into our practice, just trust me on this. And we did. And we went from just us two in like a little studio room to we have a staff of 11, a commercial space by Target. Like, we are just booming. And a lot of that is, you know, hats off to Erica for being kind of behind everything and helping us. But I attribute that to weight loss too. So it's awesome how we can combine our licenses and what we've learned to what a lot of people need. And so it's been great.
Well, and Erica Mulhall, for those of you who don't know, she's the CRNA, the other owner of Nurture Her. And so together you guys kind of run the gamut of all the things that you need. And I think, you know, as you look at your business, you move from a small space now to a big space. You mentioned, you know, commercial right next to Target, which is huge. Congratulations. Do you feel like in Wisconsin, I mean, you guys are like us, you hibernate in the winter. We do too. I mean, it's cold in Texas and none of us are out of our homes at all. How does that impact your business? I'm just thinking about even weight loss. You know, we all like gain 85 pounds in the winter and then we shuck it all off in the summer. How does that like cyclical nature of things in Wisconsin impact how you guys do your business? Or are we staying skinny all year round now?
Well, we are seeing like, so, you know, coming off of COVID where everyone, where there's a certain amount of people that did like kick it into gear and exercise a lot in COVID, but you're right. A lot of people were gaining weight, sitting behind their computer, looking at their faces. Like, and so when it came to 2021, I think, you know, everyone was more eager to like put themselves forward and really start taking care of themselves and doing the things that bring them joy. And so that was really helpful. And like weight, no offense, is like walking billboards. So when you shed 50, 60 pounds, like people are going to ask you what they're doing. Tox and filler and all that stuff is really great. Trust me, I love doing those things. But those are some of those things that are like subtle little itty bitty changes that people might not notice. But weight is a big thing. And so especially here in Wisconsin, you know, people like their beer and cheese curds and all the things. And so it just kind of, the two go hand in hand together. And we are, I think, one of the still only advanced practice providers we're owned and operated by in our town. And so I think people trust us, right? Like we have the medical degrees to do the medicine behind it and the procedures behind it. And at Nurture Her, we always like to be, we're not sterile. We have fun walls. We like to just be your friend and give you solid medical advice that I would tell my mother or my, you know, anyone that I think of what I think they need.
I think that's part of the weight loss craze right now, though, is that coming to you to say, hey, I want to lose some weight is different than going to like my doctor saying, I think I have a weight issue, right? It just feels different. One feels like I'm an alcoholic. One feels like, hey, I just drink a little too much on the weekends, you know? I mean, not to compare the two, but in a sense, it kind of feels the same way. It's like admitting that you have a problem when you go to a medical professional in a clinic that's sterile and the lights are bright and the whole thing versus I want to look better, be better for my kids, for my husband, for my family, you know, whatever the reasons are. And so I think it's made the weight loss revolution even more impactful for our industry. But to that point, everyone's doing it. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there is prescribing, you know, semaglutide, whatever, Wegovy, Ozempic, whatever you want to call it, all the different versions of it now, different compounds. And they're doing it in many cases without the full knowledge. So you took up the helm to say, I'm going to go train people, make them better at it. At what point did you decide, wait a minute, I'm hearing people say that they're doing this. They're not doing it well. I know how to do it. I'm going to start a training institution or academy and start really, you know, sharing the gospel, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. So, here's where I could talk all day. So Wegovy got approved in 2021, right? June. And then it was compounded right after that. And we put it into our practice. And then again, I would kind of go to these trainings and people are like, oh, I'm on semaglutide. And I was like, oh yeah, isn't everyone? Because Ozempic's been around since 2017. Like it's not a new drug at all. Ozempic is Wegovy is semaglutide. They're all the same. Same thing with tirzepatide, Zepbound, and Mounjaro. All the same. So I was like, I can help you do that because I don't like, I am pretty type A with a lot of things. And so I want people to do it the right way. And I don't want these drugs to get pulled from the market. I do not want that at all. So if I can try to do my due diligence and try to teach people the right way to do things, and it's probably, you know, not every provider practices the same way as me, and that's totally okay. But at least if I can give them some tips and tricks that will better the outcome to keep these drugs out there and not, you know, taken off the market, like I want to do that part. So I think that's kind of how I got started. And Erica literally was like, you should do a class on this. I was like, people want to know how to do this. This seems so silly. But, you know, 1,000 groups later, I'm still doing it and people are still reaching out to me. And so it's just kind of cool to see that's not going away and more drugs are coming out. And I hope to still like be the pioneer and like help people learn how to do it in a safe way.
I think it's two different avenues. And I think as I sent over to you, like our pre-questions for this, I mentioned that. One part is the marketing aspect, which you guys are obviously doing a great job because you're growing tremendously because of it. The other is the medical aspect. And so I think, you know, as you pull these things apart, let's focus first on the medicine because I feel like that's where if you can't prescribe it and dose it well, nothing else matters. When you're out hearing people talk about this, what are the things that people are not doing well? What are the things that give you that, you know, hair in the back of your neck moment of, my gosh, this could all go away if we're not careful? Because I think people have no idea what they don't know. And so give us some ideas of what we might be doing that are not good practices that you want to fix for us.
Yeah. So I've heard a lot of things from different patients. And so I think One, going to a provider who's educated on it is really, really important because you can get it online now and have no consultation about it. Like, no, is this a right option for me? Is it not? So I think one, have a provider meet with you and talk about it if it is a good option. Two, use it on BMIs that are appropriate. And so this is where some people are a little bit different than me. And that's okay. But I think, you know, when something has the potential to reduce a total body weight by 15 to 21%, I mean, do the math on that. If you give that to a BMI of 20 and reduce their weight by 15 to 21%, like that's not healthy. And so I'm really strict on my BMI criteria to be 27 and above. And then, I mean, dosing it also is really important because you hear a lot of these side effects of the nausea, you know, the constipation and stuff. And I think people are just trying to rush the process. And if my motto for everything is use the least effective dose. So there's no need to increase your dose if a dose is working. Like, why? It's working, right? So I think those are kind of my three big caveats with it is use it on the appropriate person, make sure a provider's evaluating if it's a good option for you, and then dose it appropriately.
Well, the BMI brings up a lot of questions because I have lots of friends, myself included, who do not fit that criteria. And we have still done it for sure, and I will tell you, I'll do it again, honey, any day of the week. No, I'm kidding. But I think we did it in shorter spurts, right? So I have friends who've done it for months and months and months and months. I'll do it for like, you know, a 4 week run, and that's it. So is there a way for practitioners who are saying to you, my entire population right now, they're all already relatively healthy and thin, they want to get thinner. Are you saying I can't see them at all? Or can I change how I dose and do a different method? Do I have options, or is it just a carte blanche no? Because if it's no, the answer's fine. Like, we just want to know the answer.
Well, so of course it's up to the provider and their comfort level, right? If you're a really good provider and you know, and you don't want to do harm and you want to do right by the patient and not cause osteoporosis because now their BMI is 19 or so forth, right? Like you just have to be like have that conversation with you. So, you know, maybe that's using the 0.25 milligram dosing for 4 weeks off. And then if you start seeing your weight creep up again, do it another for another 4 weeks. Just to maintain, I think, that end healthy BMI. And I think it's not even about BMI anymore, because you can be skinny fat, right? Where you have no muscle mass and you like nothing. So I think it's important of incorporating both things into your kind of treatment plan.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is you have to actually like maybe see your patient and pay attention, because I feel like
Yes.
I'm in Texas where, you know, we have, as you guys know from each week, all kinds of crazy laws here. But, you know, I have many friends who they get sent home with their many, many syringes or their vial and say, okay, we'll see you back in months and months whenever you hit the certain weight. And the practitioner never sees the patient for quite a while. They do it at home. They do their own injections. They may check in week to week on text. No one's actually seeing their face and laying eyes and just say, my gosh, you're withering away. Like, we should probably change this dose. Or they're so sick, Nikki, that they can't even function. I've got friends who are so sick all the time. Like, this cannot be normal. Like, nothing is worth that level of sickness for me. Like, back it off, sister. How much of that do you see? And do you recommend that they come into your practice every week? Or can we send them home with a dose? Like, what's a good, comfortable for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So at our location, I only see my patients in person, only. Like when they, so how I kind of set up my program and what's worked really, really well, but granted, I am really strict on my BMI, so 27 above. I dose it very medical, right? So I order a prescription vial. It's for them, their name on it. I teach them how to dose and I tell them to use the least effective dose. I don't even go by the dosing that Wegovy and Ozempic say to go by. I think it's too big of jumps, too big of side effects. So I actually do 0.25 milligram increments. And again, only if needed, right? So I see them when they need a refill of that, but usually I am kind of that person, right? 20, their BMI has to be 27 or above. I give them a small amount. Usually that's going to last them about 2 to 3 months. I give them kind of a dosing sheet on what I want them to do, and I will see them back in person before a refill. And most of the time, those first couple of months, they have my cell phone number, they have my email, they have all of those things if they need to teach me. But I'm pretty, again, strict. And I'll tell them, like, hey, if you're losing too much weight, if your BMI is now like 20, we're going to cut you off. Like, we have to keep like a healthy BMI.
Well, I think it's knowing the starting point, right? If you know for sure that they're starting at 27, the chances they're going to get to 20 in that short of a window is probably pretty, you know, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
Most of the time that first follow-up visit, they've lost maybe 5 to 10 pounds in those 2 to 3 months. And they've had some time to like get used to it, know how to eat on it. Because that's a big part when you start this is people just try to sit down and eat that huge Thanksgiving meal and you just can't. Like when you're full, you're full. You should stop eating. And so I tell them to do that. And, you know, if they are having constipation, to manage those side effects, because there's nothing worse with that. And then nausea, it's just like, it's not worth it. Just, you know, treat the symptoms how they are. And I'm here to help too.
When you mentioned a part of it there that I think even with my own experience, I didn't really have, which was what should you be eating? Even the delayed full effect, you know, and whenever I'm still full, like 9 hours later, I'm like, I need to be eating. Like my body needs, I'm sure I need food. I'm a female of childbearing age. I'm very active. Like I need to have food, but you're like, no way, sister, no food in here. Like I think teaching your body how to eat even when you're not, because you know it's been so long and those kind of things, no one tells you that. It's like, here's your medicine. We'll see you back when you lose some weight. And I think that part of it, it's almost like a marketing aspect as well, making it a whole package. Mm-hmm. But too, because of the health aspect, I'm like, you've got to know that everything in your life is going to shift in some crazy way the minute you start this thing. And they don't prepare you for that. So when your people go home, what do you give them? How do you make sure that they know what to expect, what to eat, how they're going to feel, if they get nauseous, what to do, like the whole gamut of things that happen afterwards?
So our first initial visit is 45 minutes with the patient, and we're doing a lot of teaching. So I send them home with QR code videos that they can watch even afterwards, because it is a long visit and sometimes it's so much information in one, and I don't want them to forget that. So I have like a QR code again that they can rewatch the visit, or just kind of tips and tricks on things. Lots of handouts. I do self-teaching a lot on, you know, what this actually means. And I tell them, like, tell your provider that you're on this. This isn't some secret. Like, I want everyone in your healthcare team to know what you're doing. So yeah, just a lot of teaching that I do, just to make sure, like, high protein diet, small frequent meals, you still need to eat food in order to like lose weight. Like, it's not just let's starve yourself and see how it goes. It's not how it is.
Well, and with that, you know, you mentioned BMI. I think BMI is obviously, you know, that's the big like name and lights kind of number that we look at. But you have to have labs run. And I've seen programs where they don't ask for labs, which to me seems a little bit dicey. When you do lab work and you have the patient, you know, do all their numbers and their vitals and things, what are you looking for? Is BMI your main concern, or are there other things that we should factor in that we should also care about besides just that number?
Yeah, I think that brings up a really good question. So, one, if you're diabetic, go through your primary care provider, because you'll get it way cheaper, right? So looking at that A1C and making sure that someone's not diabetic is probably first and foremost the most important part. B, I worry a lot about risk of dehydration, and especially more elderly patients. I mean, not that that's a big part of my population at our current place, but checking kidney function just to make sure that they have normal kidney function to begin with is really important. The rest are kind of just good things to know, like a cholesterol and a TSH if possible. But again, that's not going to steer me from doing it or not. Because most of the time, if you have a thyroid issue, that's already known and diagnosed and stuff. It's not the reason why they're coming there. So mostly, again, knowing if you're diabetic and normal kidney functions are big ones.
But this is going to sound crazy, but I think about labs, right? I had a baby 10 years ago, 11 years ago almost. I've not had lab work done, I don't think, Nikki, since I had a baby. Like, I haven't had need for it. Like, what do I need labs for? I'm healthy. I'm young. I had not had labs until I did my semaglutide, you know, consult. Some of these folks have had no lab work done maybe most of their life. Like, you got to be prepared for what you're going to find, because you have no idea what you're going to see in those labs. I have no PCP of any sort. I see my gynecologist once a year, maybe. I see my doctor who does this more than anybody else. Like, I see her once a week. So I think that's part of it too, is like when you step into this light, be prepared for what you're going to find, because you have no idea what's going to wait for you on the other side of that lab or that H&P, whatever you're going to see, you don't know yet. And so I feel like as you're seeing lots of patients, like how much of that comes into play of you get, you know, you're able to diagnose things or see things, you're like, wait a minute, this is not for you right now. Let's go to your doctor and get some other care done first and come back to you when you're finished with that.
That's a good question. So even I have a patient right now who has a complex medical history. I mean, like complex, lots of heart stuff, on HOMO2, and her PCP sent her to us, right? Because she's not diabetic, but she needs to lose weight because she needs to get healthier. And so I, for her, I'm requiring monthly labs for the first couple of months while on it, because again, that's your most likely time to get sick and nauseous and dehydrated and affect the kidneys. So it's just kind of having that working relationship. But other times, most of what's different kind of about aesthetics is most of the time the patients coming into you for these medications are otherwise healthy, right? Like, so a lot of times it's kind of a moot point. We don't really find anything, but other times we just have to do a lot of hand holding and kind of group care of making sure that the patient's being taken care of appropriately.
But if you do, you got to be ready because your
Yeah.
healthcare provider's name is now on that chart. I watch too many medical shows. I'm like, wait a minute, but it's your responsibility. Well, which brings me to the next point of, especially in our state, I know every state's different, but RNs here can do a lot in Texas and in many states they can. How often do you find, as you're out training folks, they have an NP who does the initial intake, does the diagnosis, does the, whatever the dosage is going to be, and then the RN kind of picks up the ball and runs with it. Are there any risk there? Do you want to see the patient if you're the NP at some point in that journey, or do you feel confident that, I know that you guys don't have any NP or any RNs in your practice, but that the RN can continue, continue care? Like how does that work for you as far as like a legality licensure perspective or just comfort level too?
Yeah, so I think it really depends on the AP or MD or DO or what have you, right? Because it's their license ultimately that is being used by the RN for a lot of like refill protocols. So I think eventually, you just have to have a really good relationship and protocols and policies set up in place. So initially, like a provider has to see that patient and do the initial evaluation in H&P and approve it and dose it. And then two, once the patient is like kind of steady and up and running and just maintaining, the nurse could do like a refill protocol for that as long as thing is fine. So that's kind of what I see and am okay with as long as, the provider is also okay with it, your medical director.
Yeah, I think it's just different stakes, right? We're so used to like toxin and filler. We think that they're not real, but they are. Obviously, we know that they're all real medicine too. But I feel like this just feels different because it's like a true medical thing. But as you look at the gamut of things happening out there, I think we have two compounds now in the market. I think maybe there's a third one coming in. How do you determine who gets, a semaglutide or a tirzepatide, if I'm saying that correctly? Who gets what and why they get it and what makes them different? Because I think that's still a big miss, that's a mystery to many of us.
That's a good question. So honestly, when I have my patient in front of me, the only real difference, well, there's a couple differences, right? Tirzepatide is a dual hormone medication and semaglutide is one. So semaglutide can have more of those GI side effects. So 44% of patients will complain about nausea. Tirzepatide is actually 12 to 18. So it's way better tolerated. It's stronger, meaning that you'll get bariatric surgery results of 21% total body weight reduction with that one in comparison with Sema, it's 15%. I also talk about risk of contraception. So you, with the delayed gastric emptying with tirzepatide, if you're on an OCP or oral birth control pill, you need to have a second backup method. I mean, that's for childbearing ages to begin with, but especially for that one in a pill. So I kind of lay out those differences and then ultimately budget because tirzepatide is more expensive than semaglutide. And so I kind of have like this sheet that has like semaglutide pricing with side effects and percentage of weight loss, and then tirzepatide with pricing and then percentage of weight loss and side effects. So they like I it's up to them. Like I'm the provider and I will educate them the differences on the two, but I'm not in sales for their medical stuff. So they can tell me what they feel most comfortable with.
And what goes with it? So, like when you go, do you give them also like this light? I hear about the lipo shot, and they get a skinny shot also, and they get this shot and that shot. Do you recommend that they pair something else with it just for overall health, or can it stand on its own 2 feet?
Good question. So it can stay on their own 2 feet. I do offer them this like nutrition packet that kind of talks a lot about macros, highlights proteins, tips and tricks. So there's that that goes with it, and that can be like an add-on if they want it. But otherwise, I just kind of treat it on its own. I do like pairing it with body contouring if possible, especially in the beginning. Because there's nothing worse than I hate when a patient loses 50, 60 pounds and are super lax. And now they want to get rid of that. I'm like, it's hard for me to do that right now. Like you can implement things like Morpheus and RF microneedling and whatnot. But so I kind of compare it or can pair it with some aesthetic services, but also like the nutrition piece of it too.
Yeah, I feel like that gets us to like the marketing part of it. And I say marketing loosely, just more of the selling it and how you package it, because you have not only the science of the medicine and what's going to happen, but also they are going to lose weight. They're going to have loose skin. And if you don't have an RF microneedling device or some kind of a device like that in your practice, you got to send them out, because you can't bring them to this point and then let them fly. They've got to have something to happen next. And so for you guys particularly, do you have like a package where once they finish all this and they are, you know, lax, they can go into something different? It's a natural graduation. They get a discount to do it, or it's just part of the overall package. Like, how do you market that together?
So, well, I always bring my patients in, remember, because I physically want to see what their weight is on the scale, and I physically want to look at their body. Like, are we starting to see some of that stuff? Do we need to start building collagen? Like, where are we at with all of that stuff? It's kind of like going into Target. It's super hard to go in there and just buy one thing at a time, right? And so when they're constantly seeing us and we kind of develop that really good relationship and I'm seeing them more frequently, I think that's what best helps us, more so building like a rapport with the patient rather than like upselling. We don't have any specific like weight packages that kind of includes everything. We do like a general membership where it's like a glorified savings plan. But one thing that kind of sets Nurture Her's program apart compared to other programs out there that I've seen is I really try to price my meds affordably and our program affordably, because I know it's a long-term journey for them. And I don't want to have them pay thousands and thousands of dollars for a six-week program and then realize I can't afford this. Like, I'm going to come off of it, because you can get these meds online for a couple hundred dollars a month, right? So I want to make myself affordable, knowing that it's a long-term problem and I want to have them with me long-term for long-term relationships. So then maybe they can invest their money in RF microneedling, body contouring, collagen builder, like anything like that, right?
Yeah, it's a great, what's a big issue is that even here in our office, we have people who do it at different places and they pay vastly different amounts of money. And I remember one day thinking, now I'm like, I was like sick, like, oh my gosh, I'm paying like eight times what you pay. And I'm having to drive there every week and freaking do it. And you get to do it at home. Like, I remember that feeling of like, what am I doing? But then I'm also under a different person's care than they are. I have a whole other thing that goes with it. I have all these other pieces and parts and plans and things that kind of go along. And so it's like, I'm not apples to apples, right? So I think if you are going to charge more, you have to have a value proposition there that is different, whether it's you're going to get daily fitness tips, you're going to have all your food. You know, we have a great food service that can work with you. We have additional things that you get each week, like a B12, whatever else, you know, whatever these other things that add on, because if not, they're going to call their girlfriend who's getting it for half of what you're charging and say, what the hell's the difference? It's like, well, I get a shot, you get a shot. It's kind of the same thing. I think although our medical, you know, we talk about the medical degrees and the skill sets and all those things are really important, they're not $500 of a month different importance depending on who you are and what you're doing. And so I think it's a big issue. Like, we don't have a UCC. We don't have like a universal, you know, a floor we have to set here. We can charge whatever we want to charge. So it does become a problem for many people. But as you think about what you package together, though, what does it look like? Because I think part of it is if you say on, you know, online, I do semaglutide. Yeah, so does everybody else. What is the Nurture Her plan or package? How does it feel sexy compared to someone else who doesn't have like a whole plan put together?
Oh, that's a hard question. How do you make weight loss sexy? I don't know. I think coming to us in person, like, as much as it's a hassle, I love seeing my weight loss clients. Like, love, 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 love it. They love me. I love them. We're a big happy family. But I think that they love, we're all advanced practitioners. I really try to individualize their care. And so I'm always asking them, how are things going? You know, what's going on with the weight? Like, you know, yesterday someone was really frustrated that she put weight on and it was just the holidays. And I was like, okay, well, we really got to step up the exercise again. What are you doing diet wise? What are you doing as far as your movement? Like, I don't want people just to rely on the medication. I want them to truly think of it as a mindset. And so I'm really kind of passionate about that. And then just looking at it as the bigger picture. And then I think just my background and passionate about me being weight loss really sets us apart compared to other places.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you're not in a town where there's a lot of people who are competing and your next door neighbor has it, and the neighbor beside you in Texas, obviously in Dallas, they're everywhere. I think about things that are like, you know, maybe innovative, like, you know, you have a gym membership that's an option. You get a discount at the local gym. You have, you know, like I mentioned, a food service who can help you with things. You have a person who can prepare recipes for you. I think there's all kinds of ways, if you're in a market that's extraordinarily competitive and everyone is as good as you are, to make yours stand out or be different. I think you have to make it, it has to have a name. It has to have a unique feel that, you know, if I belong to your program, it's better than belonging to someone else's program. And here's the things why, you know, the reasons why it's better, or what I get more of that I don't get with your program. I think you got to be innovative now, because as you're out training the whole world on how to do this, Nikki, you're the problem. I'm kidding. As you're out training the whole world how to do this, they're all starting to do it. And so we have to start to stand out and be different, feel different. And I think success stories, testimonials, people who have lost weight, who mm-hmm. want to go out and say, I've done this and here's my results. I think that's the other part of it too, is people don't want to be the one to stand up and say, listen, I've lost all this weight. I took a shot. We're making it like a bad word, what you said in the beginning. It's like, tell people you're on it. I mean, who cares? Oprah even said she was on it, right? Like, it's not a bad word anymore. Dear Kim Kardashian, we know you do it. Like, the secret's out. But it is kind of a taboo thing to discuss. So how do you make it, how do you get rid of that part of it where it's like, let's all celebrate it, get our patients comfortable talking about it, get, you know, get everybody on board with the fact that this thing works.
Honestly, we have, so that's so funny. My hairdressers are my number one referral. They are in the chair, like talking about it all day long. And you know who you're at if you're watching this. But they, and you know, their patients are seeing them every 3 months or whenever, not their patients, their clients are seeing them every couple of months and seeing their bodies transform. And they refer so many people to us. And we have a really strong referral program for that. They get a good chunk of money added to their wallet. We use AR every time that they refer someone. So I think, again, a lot of these weight loss patients are walking billboards, and I do kind of get a little bit frustrated with the ones that are like, oh, that have lost like 100 some pounds and like, well, no one knows that I'm on it. I'm like, why? Like, just, I don't know. It's a culture thing, I suppose, right? Like, people are ashamed of it and they don't want to say that they just did it with assistance of a medication, but you wouldn't say that you're not on a blood pressure pill to control your hypertension, right? Like, it's just, it is what it is. Sometimes we are given the cards that we were given, and we need help. It's okay to say that.
Well, yeah, I think now, like, you know, mine and your generation talks about filler and toxin like it's no big deal. It's like a badge of honor. Like, of course I had my toxin done last week, where my mother's age would never have said that. Like, oh my gosh, they would have never admitted that in public. Like, oh, I'm aging gracefully. BS. No, you're not. You're getting shot up, sister. We know what you're doing. But I think it's an age dynamic is different too. But for people who come into your practice, who come just for this, like they find you for weight loss, how do you explain to them, I think this is another issue, what will happen to their face and to their body? Because I feel like if you've not done filler and, you know, Sculpture, Radiesse, these things before, they don't know that when you lose weight, you know, you get to keep the fat in your ass or your face. You can't have both. Like, you're going to lose it, right? Mm-hmm. What do you tell them about what's going to happen to their face and about the aesthetic part of it and like getting treatments and things afterwards? That this is an investment in weight loss, but you're going to have more things after, most likely, depending on how much weight you lose.
Yeah, I've had some patients that are like, I don't want to lose any more weight because I'm already starting to see the laxity. And so then I'll kind of teach them like, well, there's ways to fix that, right? Like, we try to, again, do our pricing more affordable so patients can still put their money towards aesthetic services, because they will see those faces. They are going to lose fat. Like, things are going to start looking sunken. Your butt's going to look like a pancake. Like, all of those things are normal. And it comes with weight loss, especially rapid weight loss. So trying to do things slow and steady, still building muscle with weightlifting, still eating high protein diet, those things are still important. But of course, we still have tools in our toolbox that can also help things, right? So again, RF microneedling, can I say like brand names and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, if you want to build collagen with Sculptra or hyperdilute Radiesse, like, we have ways to put the volume back where it's supposed to look, so you don't have to look so sunken in and sickly.
Yeah, I think threads, people have been doing a lot with threads and Sculpture together and different things. I mean, there's all kinds of innovative ways to do it. And I think you're going to have, I mean, if you're going to take advantage of the beauty of this wave and lose weight, it's going to happen to you. I mean, it happened to me and I was already pretty thin. It happens to all of us. But as you think about this long term, because I feel like this is where we also have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions, is the maintenance part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, once I've lost the weight, let's say that I've lost at 25, you know, I'm down from 27 to now I'm at 20, let's say. How long do I do maintenance? Am I on this every couple weeks for the rest of my life? Do I rebound? Is rebound bad? You know, we think about gastric bypass a lot. When you kind of get through all that and you start eating again, you gain like tons of weight back. You know, it's just, it's a horrible thing. how does this look on the rebound, and how long do I stay on maintenance if I'm a person who's had really good results?
Yeah, good question. So I always joke with my patients, but in all seriousness, like, they're going to bury me with this stuff. Like, I have a stockpile in my fridge in case if there's an apocalypse that, like, I still have something. So, but in all seriousness, because, you know, so I lost, I don't know, 30 pounds after having my second baby. And now I just maintain. And what does that mean? So I'm on tirzepatide, but I use 1 milligram of tirzepatide, which is lower than the actual recommended dose, every 3 to 4 weeks. So once I start to feel like, oh, I'm getting back into bad habits, my portion sizes are getting out of control, I'll give myself an injection. So I tell my patients, hey, this is meant for a long-term approach. It doesn't mean that they have to do this long-term. Of course, if they had a surgery, they were out of commission, they put on weight, they had a baby, like, they just need a kickstart to get some weight off, to get back into the gym and do those things. Great. Use it as that. But for some people, especially genetic obesity, all of that stuff, who have, you know, it's just part of them, they're probably going to need this long-term, because even with, you know, status post bariatric patients, they eventually will put some weight back on. And so we know that that's going to happen. I think there was a study that at 1 year after medication or without any medication, no diet, no lifestyle, folks gained back 2/3 of the weight that was lost. So it definitely does stuff to us internally. And I try to maintain that at some degree.
Well, how does that work when you charge? I think about this too, is if I'm getting it versus my friend who is, you know, a couple hundred pounds, way overweight, she needs more than I need. Do you charge the same thing? Is it based on the fact that there's a syringe with some, with the magic juice in it? And I'm kidding, with something in it. Or do you do it based on the, you know, I think about toxin and filler. The more you get, the more you pay. But I feel like this is a little bit different in some way. So how do you manage that part of it? And also the ongoing maintenance packages, how do you price those out as well?
Yeah, so our program is pretty simple. Like, you come in, you pay an initial evaluation fee plus the cost of medication and our time and supplies and all that stuff. And then every time you come in after that, you pay for how much you'll need until I need to see you again, which is, again, every 2 to 3 months. So if you're using more in that 2 to 3 months, you are paying more. But again, I try to spread that love out, if that makes sense. So where, you know, that initiation fee, you're paying a little bit more to get started on the program, just to kind of help the back end of things, just so you can maintain.
But I like that, though. It's like, if the refill is due, you have to come in and see me, and you pay for the refill, just like regular medicine, right? Pay for the refill, yeah. And that's when the money is due. So if you need more, refills are more often. You need less, refills are less often. So then the payment part of it's a little bit different. So I think that's a genius model. I think people are really having a hard time with that part if they're coming into the office each week of, what do I charge for my time, but also the fact that I'm using more than I would with somebody else. Like, do I charge more for that or not? So I feel like the refill thing is kind of that makes it equal across all people.
Yeah, I try to keep it as simple as possible because, you know, well, our place is a little bit different, right? So we don't have RNs to help with injections or MAs or anything like that. And so it's literally just us and our time. And so I try to maximize that as much as possible. So, hey, you want to come in for your tox and your weight at the same appointment because it's every three months? Great. I'll get you enough supply and I'll see you again in 3 months. Those are the ones that are on like a maintenance dose where I can trust them, or not trust them, but where they're just kind of steady state. Nothing really is changing. Versus the initiation part of it where things are kind of changing. You're trying to feel it out and see how things are going with you.
Well, what are the risks in this beyond the fact that this could all end for all of us based on, you know, FDA or legal compliance issues? Like, that's obviously the big risk for everyone, is that if we don't do this well, we all end up with nothing. But beyond that, medically speaking, if I'm a practitioner who wants to get into this, what are the watch outs? What are the call outs, the obstacles, the gotcha moments that I'm not prepared for? I don't even know what to think about quite yet.
Yeah, this has been so ever changing. So I've been in this doing compounded form in aesthetics since June 2021. So 2.5 years, plus I still work in primary care. So I work on that end of things. So there's been so many changes. Compounding pharmacies abruptly shutting down. Compounding pharmacies stopping make it. New compounding pharmacies making it. Shipment delays. The Board of Pharmacy doing inspections. Like, there has been so many changes, and that makes it a little bit frustrating to like switch gears. We were using a pharmacy this past summer and it all of a sudden just stopped shipment. And so I was like, I have to have a whole new program. Like, my whole program was dependent on this one pharmacy. and they're no longer in business. And so being able to switch gears and stay on top of what's going on is so important. So have a support group. I have a support group for everyone who has taken my class, that, I'm like, hey guys, I, X, Y, and Z or anyways, anything, right? Like having someone else so you're not alone in this is super important.
Yeah, I think we have it in Texas here. They're having to ship out from Texas to all across the country because we had it, nobody else did. And I've had several people call me and say, "Where do I get it? I have nothing, and I have patients lined up, and I don't know what I'm doing." I feel like that's the biggest issue is the compound, and also the fact that not all compounders are created the same. They're not all equal. Some can say it's the same, it really isn't the same. And so I feel like even the quality of what you get can sometimes vary based on who you get it from. So you mentioned your Facebook group or your support group. Give us more information about that because I feel like that's what you need in this is as it changes every single day, I need somebody to call and say, "Hey, what are you finding out? What are you finding out?" And we all share our good details together.
So I have, again, type A, I have this whole Google cheat sheet that literally has like name of pharmacy, rep's name, phone number, where they ship to, how long it takes to shipping, 503A versus 503B, what it's compounded with, pricing, like all of the little nuances. And so I think that's a big part of that group. And then, we hold, or I hold sometimes like free webinars and stuff of just, hey guys, tirzepatide is out now. Like, how are we all going to price this? It is more expensive. How do we keep it affordable for patients? Just so many different things. And I'm constantly trying to get really good prices for a product in order to lower our costs. Because again, these meds can be really, really expensive, especially located in some of these states that's really hard to get. Poor California. Like, I only know one pharmacy in California that does it. But I'm always trying to do my best to get all of the little things figured out to make it less work for people that have taken my class.
Well, and you mentioned your class. How do you even take that? I think Face Med Store might have your class available, but give us an idea of how to even find the class and what all, if a person says, "Huh, I love the podcast. I want to find out all the things she knows," what can they expect to learn in that class?
Yeah, so I wanted it super thorough but time considerate because we all are really busy. And so I, the course is on Face Med Store, and it's a recorded version, so you can always kind of go back to it. It comes with all forms, consents, templates, soap notes, pre-appointment questionnaires, all of that stuff. But I kind of go through, what the medications are, how they work, potential side effects, labs, dosing, little things to kind of think about, clinical pearls, follow-up plans, how to do a program. It's kind of all-encompassing. I've got really great feedback from it. Everyone really loves it. And then after you're done with the course, if you want to be a part of that Facebook group, you can. And then I also have a separate nutrition class that they can get, that's on my website. But that has like a nutrition flip book, which again really kind of talks about macros, calories, protein, all of that kind of sort of stuff.
Yes, it's a whole, like we said, it's a whole program. It's not just the shots. But fun fact I'll drop here, we are adding a new vitals chart into AR where you can do your weight loss each week as your vitals come through with your practitioner. And you can look at graphs over time and it'll flag out your BMI if it's high, medium, low. So, and a new charting process so that you can do the 0.000 level of charting for semaglutide. Because I know obviously it's not like not a 0.1 could do a filler. It's a little bit different. So that's the part, that's the fun part of all of this is as you look at this taking over the world, the country at least, it's forcing people like us, like an AR and EMR, to change how we do things to accommodate for it. Because it's not the normal aesthetics process, right? It's not normal. Which means, I think, to what you just said, different forms, different consents, different intake. We have to have labs now. It's just a different ball game. You can't just pick it up and say, "Hey, I'm going to go do Ozempic today." I'm just going to decide on Monday and put it in place. There are things you've got to have put together. And as you think about malpractice and such, do you have to? I'm sure malpractice has to cover this now, and you have, let someone know. Which obviously, you already do, regular, medical nursing, family practice nursing, but. What's that look like? Do you have to tell somebody you're doing it with the board or with, your malpractice insurance? Like, are there legal things you got to do also?
Yeah, definitely making sure that your malpractice covers compounded form is really important because some don't. And like the name of the medications are on there. So from a legal standpoint, that's what you have to do. And then again, if you have staff underneath you that are doing some of this stuff, I would have policies, procedures, your medical director, all of that stuff involved. And then figuring out, sometimes it takes a little bit at first, not that you have to do this, but I would, when implementing a program, start off with a small like sample size, get kind of accustomed to it and be like, okay, I kind of know the workflow of things now. Similar to if you're going to start a new procedure or a new skill set, right? Injecting tox, you're not just going to be like, I'm in business, send me everyone. Like, it takes a little bit of a comfort level and warm up. Because, yeah, we use AR. And so I've kind of played a little bit with AR of how to best to do it with a current function. And I have my like little ways that I love doing that and utilizing AR that I really, really like. And so just kind of finding the little nuances of things that is really helpful to your practice and the providers covering you or trying to read your chart and things like that.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned about having a small group go through is genius. And make sure that they'll let you do pictures and let you do their testimonial. I think we make that mistake a lot when we do new procedures. It's like we get this audience to come in and be our models or our trial patients. And we forget to say, can we do your picture? Can we do a testimonial? Can we do reviews? Can we do all the different things? Because if they're the first ones who do it and they have success, you need to leapfrog that and build it out big. But you got to have some kind of a story to tell, if you want to call it that. And without the story to tell, it's really hard to say this thing worked and we did a great job and we want to keep doing more of it. So
Yeah.
I encourage you, if you pick out your group, pick folks who are willing and eager to tell your story and to tell what an impact you made in their life by, offering these incredible drugs. So just my TED talk for the day. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now, but
No, and I think what you're saying is really, really important because so much of the media gets highlighted sometimes in a negative way, but no one's like, hey, I'm 65 years old. It's really hard for me to lose weight now. I want to be able to play with my grandkids. Like, hey, now I've lost 80 pounds. I can play with my grandkids. I'm a happier person. I have more energy. I can walk Disney with my family. Like, there's so many of the good things that aren't really being talked about. It's like, oh, I had nausea and vomiting. It's like, well, ugh. Like, every medication has potential side effects. I think people forget about that. And we have to talk about them and try to mitigate them as much as possible and do the best thing for our patients. But at the end of the day, like, you're gonna lose weight, right? And so we shall just feel happy about that.
yeah, and a little bit of suffering here and there is probably okay. But I'll tell you, I drink more water than I've ever drank in my life. I
Yeah.
drink more water. I just took a shot myself at home last night, but my maintenance dose, to use your words, and I'm like, I'm so thirsty today. I could drink an entire pool of water. Like, I'm just so thirsty. I think maybe I'm healthier now. I'm drinking more water. Maybe this is good for my overall health in general because I'm now drinking water for the first time in 40 years. I don't know, but it's working for me, Nikki. I'm a big believer in it. And I think what you said is true about the negative publicity is so common. We hear about, I think the Mindy Project, she did it for the Golden Globes or for the Oscars. That's just silly and not real. Like, none of us are celebrities at that level. We're doing it for our health, for our long-term ability to move and be with our kids and our grandkids and, to live our lives. So I think highlighting those stories brings it back to like earth, right? To like the real person who's in your practice every day asking for this, getting this journey started. And so I think we've got to highlight that more and talk more about that because it is for the every man who has, again, the right BMI and the right qualifications, but it works. At the end of the day, no matter what people say about it, it friggin' works and it works beautifully and can be controlled and well done by a good practitioner. So it's not as scary as we think it is.
No, and it has so many. I was reading the New England Journal of Medicine a few weeks ago, and there was a study with 17,000 patients over a 16, or sorry, not six, 17,000 patient study over 6 years, and how it reduced cardiac risks for non-diabetics. And the end outcome was, cardiac death or heart attacks and things like that. And so we have the evidence that these drugs are amazing, not only for weight loss, but cardioprotective. And so I think if we can just change our mindset and say, let's do good by doing this, then do it.
I think as takeaways here, make sure from a BMI perspective, what you want to serve, who you want to serve, and making sure that you know confidently when you make that decision, what that means for follow up and for seeing them and for checking on their weight and all the things that could happen with kidneys and not, the whole gamut around that for the BMI part of it. Get trained, know your dosing, know how you want to dose and what you want your program to look like. I think marketing wise, what you said so beautifully is if you gouge people in the front end, they can't afford to do the things they need to do to make the whole picture look better, right? The laxity and the face, all the fat falling off our face, all the things that we have to take care of as well. And then at the end of the day, your patients are looking for you for advice and for help. You got to be there, right? You just got to be part of it. You got to be present. You got to help with nutrition and with weight loss and going to the gym and with thinking about how this fits into their overall lifestyle. So it's not, unfortunately, just a one and done. It's a long-term relationship. I think that's a big part of it. It is a relationship with your patient beyond just a toxin injection, right? It's just a much different feel than that. So,
yeah, said it perfectly.
Those are my takeaways. I've learned a lot from this. Well, if we want to drive folks to your courses, tell us how to find that website or that information to buy from you.
Yeah, so my actual course from start to finish is from at Base Med Store. So if you search that one, it's a non-CME one. And then if you want more geared towards nutrition, if you go to www.weightmanagementcourse.com, you'll be able to find that there. But also you can always find me on Instagram. It's Nikki, N-I-K-K-I _ nurture her, N-U-R-T-U-R-H-E-R. So that's how to find me.
And I'll put all that in the notes too, so you guys can find it. But hopefully we'll come back again to Aesthetic Next this year to AN6.
Yes, I just saw that thing got listed yesterday.
Yeah, send in your abstract, because I think we could do a whole course on this, a whole workshop. We could do so many things with different types of patients and, present. She walks in, she weighs this much, she has this, what would you do next? Because I feel like a lot of it's just scenario-based training. Like, what would you do if the patient walks in and here's how she presents? And we don't know until you hear someone else say what they would do, and you've got to kind of work from there. So it's a new field, but not new at all. I mean, it's old, but new. New to us in aesthetics. And I think it's just what happened with you is the potential to blow your practice up, make it bigger, more revenue, hire more folks, get more people in the front door. It's just a huge opportunity. If to your other point, if we do it right, if we don't screw it up and make it all go away. So any last words you want to share before we roll off?
No, I love this. So I'm honored that you kind of brought me on and to kind of talk about things that I'm so passionate about. So thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. And guys, for sure, go check out Nikki's Instagram, her courses. She is an expert on this and has trained thousands of people how to do this. So I know that she is definitely the guru, if you want to call her that. We'll call you that from now on.
Thank you. You're
the weight loss guru. But I will see all the rest of you guys back next week for episode 78 of For the Record. Thank you so much, Nikki. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.